This is Conversation for Adults with Jimmy Israel.
The number you have dialed has been changed.
Can anybody make a living as an artist in Cleveland?
I don't know about that, really, because the art community here is growing. But it's not like New York or Boston or Philly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a totally different thing here. I mean, it's growing, but it's not, you know, if you're not teaching, then you got your work cut out for you.
What have you been up to? You're like a rare weather event. I hear a lot about. I mean, you come and you go pretty quick. I mean, what have you been up to? I understand that you've been showing, but you've not been telling. First of all, Mark, it's great to hear your voice.
No, oh, good. Yeah, I've been under the weather for it since January the 7th.
Yeah, you had a serious procedure.
Yeah, I had big time foot surgery, so. I was in the hospital for about a week, and it was major surgery. So
after a certain age, all foot surgery is big time, I think.
Yeah, after a certain age, everything goes to hell. So, but I was pretty bad. I was in a lot of pain, so I couldn't really do much of anything. And then, you know, getting back home now, but I'm doing better.
How old are you?
I am 55.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Well, yeah.
Well, what have you been up to?
Well,
creatively.
I've been I'm always busy. I've been doing a lot of painting this past summer, actually past couple years, really. Just been doing small things.
You've been showing?
No, I haven't been showing. The last show I had was probably about, oh my God, 4 years ago, four or five years ago. It was at William Busta. And then he closed his gallery down, as you know. And so I've just been doing my own thing, just keep working, you know, I'm doing smaller things on canvas and tape. I'm not really doing, you know, big works anymore. Not this lately, so.
Wow.
Small things.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a productive year, though, because I've done close to 200 small paintings and drawings since spring.
What's made you kind of switch gears to go from, I mean, because you're known for doing large public art pieces. And just large pieces in general, and now you're doing smaller pieces, and so what made you switch gears? What are you exploring now? I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, so what? How about this? How about this question? So with the large art, with the large bigger pieces, you must have been exploring something. What were you exploring then versus what you're exploring now?
Well, on the largest piece, especially with the public art pieces, you know, those things are, you know, by nature very large. The last one was about 3 years ago, and it was an archway, metal archway for library, Cleveland Public Library in Lyndhurst, you know, it's not too far from Notre Dame College, so it's a brand new library, really, and so they wanted an archway, so it's rather large. It's an outdoor piece out of metalwork, and that's been the last public art that I've done.
What's the name of it?
It doesn't have, I think it's called Spring, and it was done in... It was a commission piece in a weird way because the donors, their son had passed away. And so they wanted the artwork to be kind of like a memorial to him in a weird way, which, and so that was one of the reasons. But the imagery is a lot of architectural elements from the building, and there's some nature elements from some of the surrounding trees in the area. I think there's one surviving elm tree on that property that didn't get killed by Dutch elm tree disease. And so that type of thing, there's some animal imagery and everything in the outdoor piece.
So as a commission, you weren't really exploring your own themes. You were really exploring the themes of the commissioner.
No, yes and no. I chose the imagery, and they just looked at past works and pretty much gave me free rein. They didn't say, I want this type of imagery or anything like that. It was pretty much what I wanted to do. So it was my imagery. It was my input.
So how is it that you've gone from doing large public pieces to a work where you've done over 200 smaller pieces?
Oh, well, easily. I mean, so one of the reasons is, you know, you just can't keep doing big pieces constantly all the time, and not every piece of artwork needs to be big. I enjoy doing smaller pieces now because they're a lot more intimate. That's one of the reasons. And I can do a few and go back, come back to them, finish them. And, it's just a different scale. The work of art kind of, in a weird way, tells you what size it's going to be. And bigger is not necessarily better. So I like the scale, what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
It's an intimacy. And I've always done smaller pieces. I mean, most people think that you've done these big mural epic things. And for a while, it was true. But I've also done smaller things. So
some
of what I haven't seen or remember, but go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's smaller.
I see. And are you exploring any specific themes in this work, or just...
There are a couple of things within the past, I'd probably say 3 or 4 years. The subject matter is religious pieces. And so the last, I'd say like the last year or so, since spring, I did a whole series of small little Madonna and Child paintings. And there's about 100 of those on canvas. And they kind of started out as an idea of kind of loosely applied paint, and then that kind of evolved. They're small. There's nothing is really larger than 6x7, 6x8.
Hmm.
And then I did another set of the same theme on paper, paint, and on paper, and there's probably about 70 of those, and they're a little bit more detailed. And so it was just a theme that I did for that, and then I did a series of crucifixion paints. Not paintings, but I say drawings, really. Works on paper. And those are also small. Nothing more than in size is larger than 6x8, really.
I don't know that I'm an aficionado of your work, but I've seen quite a lot of it, and I point out that religion is a recurring theme.
Yeah. It always has been, even though people probably don't realize it. I've never stopped painting religious paintings. I've been painting them since I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you go to college and art school, whatever, and then you learn about other things and different approaches. And
Tell me about that painting you made when you were 13.
Oh, I made me a lot when I was doing it. I think the first, I'd probably say the first paintings that I did were religious paintings. And they were from these photo reproductions in a family Bible. I think I was probably about 9, and they were oil paintings and on canvas. And I did those, and my mother saved some of those things, so it was kind of amazing when I look back at them now. And then when I was in high school, I did a few more. And then I remember when I was in, I think it was still in high school, I did a Madonna and Child, a black Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in our house. My mother had it framed and everything. And then, you know, looking at it, we were looking at it thinking, maybe we should give this to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother gave it to our church. It was Roman Catholic, but in fact, a black Catholic parish. And so we gave it to the church. And I remember one day, it was probably one of the strangest things, is that we had, I'm not sure what the occasion was, but they took my painting and the priest and the altar boys and everything, they took the painting and they were coming down the aisle of the church and they put it on this easel at the altar in front of the church. And I thought, this is just the strangest thing. It's just so weird, you know. So here's mass going on and I'm looking at my painting up on the altar where they say mass. And then afterwards, this little old lady came up and she knelt in front of my painting, did a sign of the cross, and lit a candle. That kind of blew me away because that was like, wow, it's out of my hands now.
Mm.
In terms that, you know, it's no longer my painting. Mm-hmm. It's gone to a totally different level where someone sees it in a totally different context.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of like an eye opener. And as far as I know, the church still has that painting.
What I enjoy the most about your work is your use of ideograms. There's work where you do renderings, but I really like that some of the work that I know, the work from the 90s and the early 2000s, some of the work that I know is really deals with ideograms, just images that are more that are meant to convey ideas. Can you talk about your choice to do that kind of art, especially in your public art?
Oh, you mean symbolism and things like that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that kind of came about with the paper cutouts when I started doing things like that I was like 92. Those things come from, you know, life experiences, your whole background, your life, really, religion, not only that, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
experiences bad with people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just your journey, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I was doing, you know, before I was doing the paper cutouts, I had that period I was doing the silkscreen imagery on canvas. And I don't know if you remember that. That's going back. That's
mm-hmm.
like 1988. And
no, I was a baby then.
Before then, mm-hmm. yeah, when I just got my first studio on Payne Avenue. And that kind of imagery, you know, that changed a bit when I got my first studio and I left CIA and University Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And the imagery.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Became more, became a little bit more controversial, and with the imagery, it's like it kind of like evolves. I don't have any specific agendas in terms of meaning. I leave that kind of cryptic.
Sure.
I don't like to make things too much of a
leap. Yeah, I heard you. Okay. So what does public art owe the community it serves, or is that idea kind of a flawed premise on its face?
It, what is?
I mean, does public art owe the community, does it owe anything to the community that it serves? I mean, and what I'm thinking of like over in Collinwood, they've done all this public stuff, and it really seems, it feels like an assault. I mean, it feels like the people that came in and did this work weren't concerned about the people that lived there and like adding value to their neighborhood. It seems like the art is intentionally alienating, you know, which kind of goes along with gentrification. But I could be reading that wrong, but you're the artist between the two of us. I just wonder if you feel like the public art in general has a...
The public art in that area is, alienating or something?
I think so. I think it feels like an assault. It feels intentionally alienating. Like I'm thinking over by the Beachland and that corner. You know, it's just I mean, I don't, you got like a leaning tower. You had like a leaning tower for a while and some other things that, you know, the community at large, I mean, they didn't have anything to do with the people or anything like that. I mean, does the public artist have any obligation to the public?
Oh, of course it does. All the public art that I've ever done and that I've seen other people, for one thing, the nature of public art is that you deal with the public. It's not creating something in the studio like you would on an easel, because the only obligation you have is really to yourself as an artist, and it gets put on a wall in a gallery.
Mm-hmm.
With public art, you're dealing with a whole different set of issues. You're dealing with public space, which is really no longer your space. It's the public space. And oftentimes that involves money raised by the people in that community. So there's a lot of different factors that come into play. Some of them want people in the community, sometimes children or whatever, to get involved in the creative process. So on a good public art project, all people interact to create a work of art to be enjoyed by everyone in that community.
Mm.
But that's what public art is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
In a good sense. That could be an inside mural, or it could be outdoors, you know, whatever, you know. But at some point, you have to engage the people in the community. Because they have to know what it is that is being put into their space.
What are the
and they have to have a sense of involvement in it.
Can you make a living as an artist in Cleveland? Can anybody make a living as an artist in Cleveland?
I don't know about that, really, because the art community here is growing, but it's not like New York or Boston or Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a totally different thing here. I mean, it's growing, but it's not, you know, if you're not teaching, then you got your work cut out for you.
It feels very segregated to me.
Well, all entertainment in Cleveland is segregated, whether it be theater, art, or anything. Nightclubs, it's always been like that.
Has that been challenging for you?
Hmm?
Has that been challenging?
Yeah, it's always been challenging. I remember the days when, there was segregated gay nightclubs in Cleveland. And that's not too far along. You had gay night and you had black night.
Yeah,
God forbid if you fell in between those two, because Cleveland had many gay clubs back then, more so now than now. But they weren't very accepting of black people. So black people had to create their own venues. And that was an accepted part of the way things were in Cleveland, flats were the same thing. It's no different from any other city. It was like that in New York in the 80s and 90s, where you had this segregated, I call it entertainment, whether, artist, theater, or whatever, visual, it existed.
How come it's been so long since you've shown, and you have this huge body of work? How come it's been so long?
Oh, I don't know. I just haven't found the right spot that I really feel comfortable in doing it. So,
what would make you comfortable with a spot? I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't know. You find a gallery that you like, and you just know. I just don't want to just go on. And it's something that I'm not happy with.
Weren't you involved with the Cannes Triennial or something like that?
I had a couple of pieces in there, yeah.
Yeah,
that was in the 79th Street Studios. I had a couple of pieces in there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice experience.
Do you have any, are you maybe prepping for a show? Can we look forward to a show from you this year? And what are you looking for in a gallery that's going to give you comfort? You kind of danced around that.
Well, you want someone who knows what they're doing, for one thing, running a gallery. It's nice to have a gallery that has a good stable of artists that you respect and you know. Consistent quality of the artwork being shown. Great if they can come out with a publication or something during the shows. It's stuff that I feel just about any artist would really like, but a lot of galleries can't do that. Maybe there's new, or running a gallery is very difficult. It's not easy, and so many come and many go.
I see.
And so you have to find the right one for you. Not every gallery is right for every artist.
Okay.
Depending on subject matter, how it works, it's different. There are galleries that just show photography. A gallery is also a personal reflection of what the gallery would like to, what the gallery owner, director, their goals are. You have to pick and choose which ones are right for you.
I have a lot of friends, black artists that find it challenging to find the right gallery. Do you, not to belabor the point, but do you think that those two things are correlated, that the galleries themselves are segregated?
No.
You don't? Okay.
No.
Okay.
I don't see that in terms of, not that, no. I don't see that.
Okay. That's just my observation. I'm an outsider. So it's just everywhere I go, I see everybody but the people that I know. It's just like, and it's not because they're not talented. It's because they're just not being hung in these places. Like Dexter Davis. Dexter Davis is, to me, he's like, he bookends you. And as a matter of fact, in my home, you guys who hangs in my home, I hang you and I hang Dexter prominently in my house. And I really feel like you guys are like the flavor of the city. But I don't
old now.
I do. I'm sorry.
We're old now. I don't know. You know.
Well, what's next for you? What's next? What are you working on? When are we going to see your workout?
I don't know yet. I really don't. I got a brand new. Well, once I'm able to get about, that's been kind of limiting right now. I won't be able to do that until maybe April. But I've got a series of mid-sized pieces. So I'm like 40 by 60, maybe.
Jesus, that's mid-sized? Holy shit.
Of abstract, totally abstract pieces. Hopefully this summer. But I've been kind of working on those for about a couple of years. Last year I did a bunch of drawings, detailed drawings in preparation. And so, you know, I do most of my work in the summer, really. Beginning summer, late spring, the summer. And that's when I really go to town. And so...
Is your work out anywhere where people can buy it right now?
There's a few places, but most of my...
Where?
Most of my work I still have here in the studio. So if people want to really come and, you know, purchase work, they can come to the studio and everything. I don't have any dealers. I don't have any dealers. Representing me right now.
But, I mean, but you said your work is out there to be purchased. Can you tell me where?
There's a few people who have a few pieces, Paul, remember Paul and Joan, Paul Bieber, they have a few things.
What's the name of the gallery?
No, they don't have a gallery anymore. I don't have any gallery representing
Okay.
But they used to be dealers that represent me, and they still have some works of mine.
What's the name again? I'm sorry.
Paul Bieber.
Can you spell that for me?
B-I-B-E-R.
Okay, thank you. That'll help me. What do you see your legacy as a? I mean, well, first of all, I want to know how much of new work you brought to Cleveland as an artist, because some people would argue there's a Cleveland perspective. And I wonder, as an artist, have you soaked that in, and is that reflected in your work?
Well, I'm trying to think what you're kind of getting at. I mean, I've been in Cleveland since, I'd probably say, 81.
Right.
I've been exhibiting in Cleveland since probably 84, 85. You know, I've worked in galleries, New Gallery, Cleveland Center for Contemporary Art, did a lot of shows, and then started doing public art, and, you know, I got a lot of stuff out there. You know, don't necessarily, you know, you don't need to go to a gallery to see my artwork per se. You know, a lot of it, you can just walk down the street and see it. But that's something which I'm kind of proud of. You know, the Euclid Corridor project is probably the largest public art project the city ever had.
What did you do for that?
I did the artwork from Public Square to University Circle. I designed probably about 120. Stainless steel trash cans up and down Euclid Avenue. Probably about, I think it was like 60, 70 tree breaks from Public Square to CSU. And then these things called removable curbs that are, they're like covers for infrastructure on Euclid Avenue,
mm-hmm.
you know, for like electrical, water on the sidewalks and things mm-hmm. like that. So each area was designed imagery-wise to fit what was done
mm-hmm.
historically in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the biggest project, and that was, I consider it a big legacy.
Excellent. You know? Excellent.
Yeah.
The number you have dialed has been changed.